request everyone please come forward. So the brothers who are coming late, inshallah, they will have place. For Muhammad wa Rabbi Muhammad Sarawad.
Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد
May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of learning, knowing, ma'rifah, and a spiritual ascension in reducing the distance between us and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. A very good presentation by Brother Ali Ahsantum. It helped understand and open more windows in understanding two of the ahadith that we have regarding the Masa'ib of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. In one of these ahadith, it says that Sagiruhum yumituhu al-atash, Kabiruhum jilduhu munkamash. Sagiruhum, that's the young among them, atash, thirst will kill them, and the elders among them, their skin will be, as a result of that dehydration, as a result of that heat and the extreme weathers over there, will be munkamash. Munkamash means stretched, meaning shrink, all these different things. And again, there is another hadith which is again amazing in the Maqatil, which says that yahulu al-atash baynahu wa bayna as-sama' kad-dukhan. That is, the thirst was such that Abu Abdullah al-Husayn was dehydrated so much that when he looked at the sky, there was this separation or this barrier or the hindrance between him and the sky as if he saw smoke. Now the definition which was given for dehydration as having a cloudy vision, that also helped and opened windows in understanding the hadith a bit better. Jazakumullah khairan. The topic that we have selected for tonight, it's helping Imam of Time, Imam al-Asr, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. It was mentioned that about Abdullah al-Husayn, Inna al-Husayn misbahu al-Huda wa safinatu al-Najah. That Imam is the torch of guidance and the ark of salvation, the ship of salvation. Ziyarat for Abu Abdullah, it plays an important role. Anything that is related to Abu Abdullah has that miraculous effect. And as it was mentioned repeatedly, that the outlet in every dead end is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. If you come to a closed end, you find no solution, solution is Abu Abdullah. Sit and cry for Abu Abdullah. Remember him sincerely for a few moments and you will find that everything will open up. People of Kufa, there was a drought, no rain. They were worried that everything is going to perish if this continues, if there is no rain, if nothing, no vegetation grows. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the head of the state, people from Kufa, they come to the Imam and say, Imam, do something, pray for us, so that at least the livestock, the people who are perishing, vegetation which is being lost, which is not growing, is all recovered. Then Imam calls Abu Abdullah and Hussein, says, Hussein, you pray for them. Imam hasn't raised, now at that time Abu Abdullah and Hussein is a young child. He hasn't raised his hands to pray. The clouds, they cluster, it starts to rain. People of Kufa, they are happy. They say that, thank you, inshallah, a day will come, we will repay you for this great blessing which you provided us, as a result of which our families were safe, secure, protected, and everything. But how did they repay the Imam when Imam was in need? So the topic is that helping the Imam of time. The highest rank that a person can possess is being the soldier of Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Being a servant of the Imam, and it is possible, and we ask Allah and we can get to it, that in serving the Imam of time. The more we get closer to him, the better we would be able to serve. And that is why we find in our du'as, for example in du'a al-ahd, which is mustahab, that you recite it every morning after your fajr prayers. And the phrases that we have in this du'a, they are amazing, and inshallah they will be elaborated here. Says that Allahumma ja'alni min ansarihi wa a'wanih, that God make it as such that you enlist me among his supporters, among those who help him, wa a'wanih, and his assistants, his associates. وَالذَّابِينَ عَنْهُ وَالْمُسَارِعِينَ إِلَيْهِ فِي قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِهِ, and among those who are foremost in carrying out his tasks and his orders. وَالْمُمْتَثِلِينَ لِأَوَامِرِهِ, so on and so forth. Continues and comes to this sentence and says, اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ حَالَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ الْمَوْتِ, that O God, if death intervenes between me and him, that is prior to the arrival of the Imam, if I die. Dua over here is that فَأَخْرِجْنِي مِنْ قَبْرِي, that God raise me from my grave, that is bring me back when he has come, because we don't know when the Imam is going to return. This is one. So we've got two versions of Dua al-Ahd. One is a longer version. Now the longer version won't take more than 5 minutes or 4 minutes of yours. The shorter version might take less than 2 minutes of yours. And a hadith from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. He says that if someone recites this dua for 40 days, and if death intervenes between him and his Imam, that is, Imam doesn't come but he dies, says when he returns, Allah will raise him from his grave, will bring him back because of his wish, because of his desire. In the shorter version of the same dua, which is dua al-ahd, which starts with Allahumma balligh maulaya sahib al-zaman, in the end of it, it comes and says that Allahumma hadhihi bay'atun fi unuqi ila yawm al-qiyamah. And the teaching from the Imam is that when you say this phrase, Allahumma hadhihi bay'atun fi unuqi, that O God, this is a bay'at, this is an allegiance which is in my neck. Bay'atun fi unuqi ila yawm al-qiyamah, until the day of judgment. You hold your hands like that. That is, it is an allegiance with the Imam, as if one hand is of the Imam, the other one is yours. That you hold your hand like that and then say, Allahumma hadhihi bay'atun fi unuqi ila yawm al-qiyamah. This is an allegiance between me and him, in my neck, until the day of judgment. So again, add this on to your daily program, that after your Fajr prayers, now the different versions and formats of this dua are available, videos, audios, and inshallah PDFs will be sent to you. So again, add that on to the program, which is again a dua that we have, and we ask Allah, and as a result of that, Imam says that you will be brought back. Now, if you look into the performance of the noble, the pious, for example, marhum Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, the Mafatih al-Jinan, which was with him in the hospital when he was ill, there was a page on this dua al-ahd, as if he ended his life in this world with a wish, with a desire, with an allegiance with the Imam. So that is again something we find in the performance of the pure. So we are taught that if death intervenes between us and the return of the Imam, God bring us back. That is, one should be fond of the Imam. We should love him so much that even if death intercedes, death should be nothing. God bring me back. Again, if you look into the performance of his grandfather, the grandfather of Imam al-Asr, which is the Allama of the entire creation, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Reporting from Mikyal al-Makarim, there he says that لَوْ أَدْرَكْتُهُ لَخَدَمْتُهُ أَيَّامَ حَيَاتِي. Now this is the grandfather of the 12th Imam saying regarding his grandson that if I was given an opportunity to witness him, to see him, لَخَدَمْتُهُ, I would serve him for the duration of my life. That is the grandfather saying that I will serve my grandson who will be the Imam of time for the duration of my life. So it is a wish of the Imam himself. Again, that is a wish which we have, that we also be in his service. So it's a great rank to be in the service of the Imam. That's why death also, it must not intervene, it must not become a barrier, it must not become a hindrance between us and serving the Imam. An amazing riwayat we have regarding serving the Imam says that when the Imam arrives, if mu'mineen, you and we, me, who have this desire and wish to serve the Imam, if we die and we are in barzakh, in our graves, the caller would come and there will be a page. The call is that Imam has returned. Now I'll quote the hadith, which are again the words of Ma'soom. إِذَا قَامَ أَتَى الْمُؤْمِنْ فِي قَبْرِهِ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ. When he returns to the mu'min, there will be this call. They will come and inform the mu'min, يَا هَذَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ ذَهَرَ صَاحِبُكَ, that oh you over here, your sahib, your master has arrived, has appeared. فَإِنْ شِئْتَ تَلْحَقْ, if you wish, you can join him. وَإِنْ تَشَأْ تُقِيمُ فِي كَرَامَةِ رَبِّكَ فَأَقِمْ, and if you want, you can stay here where you are and reside in the karamats, in the benevolence, in the mercy of Allah. So even in barzakh, those who desire and wish to be in the service of the Imam, they will be informed to come, that is, your master has arrived. Or for example, throughout the month of Ramadan, every day, after every wajib namaz, what do we recite? We say, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. The applicable of this dua, because whatever is quoted from Ma'sumeen is haqq. Whatever they say is right. This dua, again, it's the word of Ma'soom. Word of Ma'soom is no less than the word of God, like Quran. It carries the same weight. So, when we have these du'as, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur, O Allah, make the dwellers of the graves happy. So, for 1,300-1,400 years, mu'mineen have been reciting this du'a. So, there should be some point when this du'a is accepted. When is that? That is the time when the Imam will arrive. Now this first phrase of this dua says, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur, gladden the dwellers of the graves. When the Imam arrives, all the dwellers of the graves, everyone in barzakh will be happy. The riwayah, they say that so much so, that to those who are being punished in the graves, no matter who they are, as a result of the return of Rahmatun Lil Alameen, which is the Imam of Time, that azab, that punishment which they are seeing, a concession will be given to them for a while, so that they are relaxed as a result of the return of the Imam. There is a book, a beautiful book, written by Marhum Pujani, called Siyahat-e-Gharb. It's in Farsi. And there, Marhum Ayatullah Pujani, he mentions about the life after his own death. That is what is going to unfold on him. Marhum Shaheed Mutahari, a young person at that time, he asks Marhum Pujani that how come you have mentioned in this book the life after death of yours? And then he says it's all these mukashifat and visions which he had, he has mentioned them in this book, again supported by the words and sayings of Ma'asumeen alayhimus salam. And there, in a beautiful format, he's written this book. Says that throughout the book there is a guide who he has named as Hadi. And there starts that I died and I was traveling amidst the various stops and manazil in Barzakh. The various stops that we have in Barzakh. My guide is Hadi. Now the first stop in Barzakh says that to Marhum Pujani, come on, get ready. Why? Says the Imam Zadas. Imam Zada means the family of the Imam. His sons, his daughters who have been laid to rest, who are buried worldwide, may that be in Iran, in Iraq, elsewhere, here and there. The descendants, the family of the Imams, they are known as Imam Zadas. The guide says to Marhum Pujani, get ready, as the Imam Zadas, they want to come and visit you. Now he is extremely happy. Now someone who has no possession, as it was mentioned yesterday, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ, a day when no sons and no wealth would be of any benefit. When he is informed that they want to come and visit you, they want to come, why? They want to pay back your visit. Now this again is a teaching that we have, which is observed a lot among the ulama, and that is when you go to a town, you go and call and inform them that I'm here. What they do is that they come and visit you. Once they've visited you, you have to pay back that visit. As mark of respect, you go and pay that visit back. The guide Hadi says they want to come and visit you for all the visitations you had throughout your life. You visited all these Imamzadas, they want to come and say thank you, visit you back. So, they want to come and visit you. Now, again, Marhum Ayatullah Bahjat, he used to say that never underestimate these Imamzadas. Visiting one of them is like visiting every Ma'asum, every one of them. So the family members of Ma'asumeen are to be visited. Or for example, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Murtaza Ha'iri, one of the Maraji'i Taqlid after the demise of Imam Khomeini. Now he is the son of the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri. The beauty of this person was that whenever he got an opportunity, he used to travel all the way to Mashhad. Traveling to Mashhad from Qom was tough, 1,000 kilometers. Whenever he got a chance, a day off, 2 days off, he travels all the way to Mashhad and goes straight to the shrine of the 8th Imam, pays his visit and comes back. Traveling was tough. Many a times you didn't get the ticket. It wasn't by air, either by train or road. And when he didn't get a seat, he used to take one of these buckets with him, sit on the bucket all the way to Mashhad. For how long? For about a day, until he reaches Mashhad. When he was getting old, the children, they used to say, you've paid enough visits to the Imam, you can have a rest now. But he continues until the moment, until he dies. After his death, when a communication is created with him, he's asked, all these visitations you had to Imam, did they benefit you? He says, what do you say? The number of visits which I had to the Imam, he has come to see me in these 3 days that I am in Barzakh, that is in my grave. So these visitations, they are paid back. If we visit them, it is paid back to us. And at the time when we are in need and in barzakh, it is there. So, Marhum Qutani says that they came, the Imam Zadas, they came to visit me in barzakh. Salawat, please. Now when they come, that is the family of the Imam, they are accompanied with Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas alayhi salam and Ali Akbar alayhi salam. So these two also followed them. They entered my place in barzakh, and upon seeing them I started crying. I couldn't control that. How come so much of honor has been given to me? He says that besides me, Habib ibn Mazahir was standing, and my eyes filled with tears. Habib ibn Mazahir, slowly he whispers in my ears and says, Qutani, by the way, Hazrat Zainab alayha salam has conveyed her special salams to you. And the message she has given to you is that we haven't forgotten your efforts for Aba Abdullah. We haven't forgotten all those visitations of yours. You walked all the way to Karbala. We haven't forgotten that. The other message she gives for you is that we haven't forgotten all those crying and weeping of yours secretly, discreetly, which you cried for my brother Aba Abdullah. We haven't forgotten. So she conveyed her salam to you. Now again, it's amazing that upon getting these salams, these visitations from Ahlul Bayt, he is overwhelmed with joy and it's out of his control. It says, Man kibasham که بر آن خاطر آتر گذرم لطف ها می کنی ای خاک درت تاج سرم. That is, who am I, what am I? The dust of your doorstep is the crown of my head. And then says that I was amidst the joy of being in barzakh associated with Ahlul Bayt. I see that Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas and Ali Akbar alayhim as-salam, they've got arms with them, that is the swords. And he said that I wondered, why are they armed over here? Do they need ammunitions in barzakh? Upon this question of mine, Habib, who was standing beside me, Habib ibn Mazahir, says his eyes were filled with tears. And he replied that these two, that is Abu al-Fazl and Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhim as-salam, they had high aspirations, high spirits, many desires to serve the Imam of their time, Aba Abdullah, which were not fulfilled. Says they have equipped themselves as such so that when the Imam al-Asr, when he returns, they fulfill all the desires, the hopes they had in the service of the Imam of time. So among those people who will return or who are longing and waiting to serve the Imam are the Ashab of Imam al-Asr, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajah Sharif. He says that amidst all this which I am seeing, the Imam Zadas on one side, the two over here besides me, Habib, the message I get from Hazrat Zainab, there I see that this infant of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, this beautiful infant, which is Ali Asghar alayhi salam, I see him, delicate, beautiful, small. And then he says that the thing which hurt me a lot, there was a bruise under his neck. And I asked, now this is something which we find in Maqatil, فَذَبَحُهُ مِنَ الْأُذُنِ إِلَى الْأُذُنِ, that when that mal'oon, he shot that arrow at Ali Asghar, this infant of Aba Abdullah, a small infant, 6 months old. The arrow that was shot was huge, poisonous arrow. It sliced his neck from Udhun, which is one neck, إِلَى الْأُذُنِ, which is the other neck. He says, I saw the bruise of Ali Asghar on his neck. And I asked him, what is that? In reply, again, the spokesman over here, it's Habib ibn Mazahir, he says that it's the blood of an oppressed, a mazloom. It hasn't been avenged yet. So that intiqam, it's yet to be taken. Who will take that revenge? It's the Imam of Time. Says that that trace, it's going to remain until Imam starts his mission. And until that intiqam, that revenge has been taken for the blood of that mazloom. He says that I saw these two visions and then a third one. What is that? Now this one is a very disturbing one. Marhum Uchani, he is in Barzakh, now Behisht Barzakhi, which is a heavenly Barzakh which has been given to him. He says that from that Behisht Barzakhi, I see this world, that is, from an unseen world, from the hereafter, he is looking into this dunya. For example, if you are flying high in the skies, you look at this dunya looks so small, this world, this earth looks so small. He says that he is in the paradise of Barzakh. From there, his sight is focused on this earth. And amazing to see that my master, that is Imam Al-Asr, the Imam of Time, in this world he is stranded as if someone who is homeless. This again, it is amazing that we have this Ziyarat Ali Yaseen. If you get some time, once in a while, go through it. At least once in a Friday. We've got a term over there which says that As-salamu alayka ayyuhal murtaqibul khaif. Murtaqib means someone who is aware, someone who is... And then khaif means someone who is scared, frightened. Now Imam Al-Asr is the Imam of Time. Why does he need to be frightened? Why is he scared? Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat Rahmatullah alayh, he said, to understand this, Imam, with all that might which he has, with all those abilities and powers which Allah has given to him, the forces that act against him or the enemies which he possesses, they are also huge, large in number. Or the entire creation that is opposing him is standing against the Imam. Now someone who has so many enemies of all different forms, this Imam, he cannot stay in one place. He has to move around every now and then to protect and save himself. Now we, in our homes, we are safe, we are secure. Imam hasn't got a home to be safe and secure. He cannot be in one home. He cannot be safe. This As-salamu alayka ayyuhal murtaqib al-khaif, that salam be upon you, the Imam, who is khaif, who is afraid. And then he says that, from that barzakh, when I saw the Imam stranded and homeless, I said, how can I be happy in this barzakh over here with all these blessings that have been given to me here and my master be stranded over there? So, Imam, we want to be his supporters. We want to help him. An aashiq, a lover of the Imam, he never forgets his beloved. May he be alive or may he be dead. Even if death intervenes, he says that Allahumma akhrijni min qabri. That God, bring me back from my grave. Fa akhrijni min qabri mu'tadiran kafani shahiran sayfi. That with my shroud as my cover, and then my sword as my arms to protect and to safeguard and to serve the Imam. That is the desire that an aashiq has, which we find and we read in this dua al-ahad. So this is a great rank. And to possess this great rank, that is to be a soldier of the Imam, to be a sincere servant of the Imam, it has a few conditions. Some criteria, four criteria. The first one is that we have to possess that ma'rifah. We have to know the Imam, who the Imam is. I won't be taking too much of your time on this one as regarding the ma'rifah of the Imam. So there are many who were with the Imam, for example, Amirul Mu'mineen. But Amirul Mu'mineen complains about them. So being with the Imam, it's not a great big deal. Seeing the Imam, it's not a great big deal. Being away from the Imam, but serving the cause of the Imam, that is what is desired. Many people were with Amirul Mu'mineen, but Amirul Mu'mineen there says that you are a burden on me. This is something which he says in Nahjul Balagha, that uridu an udawi bikum wa antum dawi, says that I want to help others through you, but you guys who are with me, you are a burden on me, and I need to cure you. So that is not desired. We who want to be a servant of the Imam, we should be as such that we should be able to reduce some of the burden which Imam is carrying on him. Now Imam, the burden on him, it's not only related to the Shias, the entire globe, the entire creation. Because if you look into this dua adila which we have, says biyumnihi ruziq al-wara, that through the Imam the entire creation, the sustenance is provided. So if we are at, we have problems, the first one who gets hurt is the Imam. Riwayat, they say that when you are hurt, we are hurt. When you fell down, I say ouch. When you have problems, I also am hurt. When you have a dua, I say ameen. That is that special relationship with Ma'asumeen have with Mu'mineen. Now, apart from the Shias, you've got the Muslim world, there is a special eye of the Imam for them. You've got all other creations of Allah, Imam has that eye on them as well. So we, now, addressing those who were with Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam says that your presence with me, it's just a burden. I want to serve, I want you to help me serve others through yourselves. But you don't. And then furthermore, Imam in Nahjul Balagha says that your presence, it's like that thorn. Now if you, a person is hurt with a thorn, nowadays if you want to remove that thorn, you use a tweezer. In those days, they used to use another thorn to remove the thorn from yourself. Now, a thorn in a body, it's a pain, it hurts. Imam says that to remove that thorn, I have to use another thorn, and that it's a double hurt, double pain. So people who were with the Imam at that time, Imam says, of no use, of no benefit. So man with ma'rifah, it's someone, something and someone which Imam desires. So if we don't see him, doesn't matter. He hasn't lost, we haven't lost anything. Or if we just follow the aims, the desires of the Imam, or the, what we recite every day in dua iftitah, that Allahumma, make it as such that his desires be my desires. Whatever he wants is something which I should be wanting. A person comes to our sixth Imam and says, Imam, matal faraj, when is the relief, or when is the return of the Imam? Now this person who asks the Imam as to when the relief is going to be is someone who is under the oppression of Bani al-Abbas. Imam says that you are waiting for your own relief, not the relief of Ahlul Bayt, not the relief of Wilayatullah. You don't want Wilayatullah's relief and faraj. You want your own relief. We have to look into ourselves. Now, we are told that we have to have a bond with the Imam. Good. But it shouldn't be as such that we, God forbid, hire the Imam for our needs, and once we get them, we fire him, God forbid. So that is a bad relationship. Someone who is sincere to the Imam, it's someone who says, Ajjil farajahum, that Allah make their relief. Now, whenever we say that, when we get his relief, automatically our relief is there. It's embedded in it. But normally it's the other way around. We say Ajjal Faraji in a real sense. That is our own relief. Imam in reply says that Anta mimman turidu dunya. To this person who says Matal Faraj, when is the relief? When is the Faraj? You are among those who are after this dunya. And then Imam says that Man arafa hadha al-amr faqad furija anhu. That someone who understands this, who has the ma'rifah of the Imam, he is automatically relieved by just that ma'rifah. That we have to have that ma'rifah in Imam. Or for example, in another quote, says that, a person outside the house of our sixth Imam or the fifth Imam, he's outside the house and he hits someone. Imam from inside the house says, why did you do that? Now this person, because he has no ma'rifah, and the Imam says, Imam, do you see what's happening from inside there? So they think that these walls and these windows and these houses could become a barrier, and they could not see it. So that is that lack of ma'rifah. We have to know, we have to understand what the whole concept of imamat is, what the concept of ismat is, what is the knowledge of the imam. All these things have to be understood, and that is something which without ma'rifah it's impossible. So if a person possesses ma'rifah, an imam is absent, for him it doesn't matter. He is fulfilling the duties, whatever the desires of the imam are being fulfilled. Marhum Ayatullah Ansari Hamadani, when he was asked as how can we get to see the imam of time, he replies that when for you absence and presence would make no difference. When for you being imam being present before you and imam being absent, for that for you, when the two are the same, imam will arrive. So what is his role in this world? What are the expectations of the imam from us? All these are issues that we have to understand them and increase the level of knowledge and ma'rifah that we have for the imam, and only then can these things be understood. For example, Maliki Ashtar, he possesses a ma'rifah, a knowledge, a knowing of the imam, that he cries when Amir al-Mu'mineen, he cries when Malik Ashtar dies. What a nice person he was. Malik is gone. Now all these are the cries and weepings of Amir al-Mu'mineen for Malik Ashtar. Why does he cry? Because he possesses ma'rifah. Malik Ashtar knows his imam. Now for Malik Ashtar, he was just after the imam to give him some assignments so that he could carry out the instructions of the imam, he could remove some of the burden from the shoulders of the imam. So how do we get this ma'rifah? It's not only by reading, by listening to speeches. Our sixth imam, Sadiq alayhi salam, says that if you want this ma'rifah to glow in your hearts, the first thing is that you have to submit. That submission must be there. That taslim has to be there. That whatever they say, accept blindly. Don't go after excuses why this and why that. Whatever they have said, accept. The more you submit, the more light will be flashed towards you, the more that ma'rifah will increase, and the more you will benefit. That is the first thing. The second criteria of someone who wants to be a servant of the imam is that his heart has to feel the imam day and night, and that he does not remember the imam only when he is not busy. It should be as such that that heart of his has a continuous connection with the imam. That is something. And again, says that Rahimallahu imra'an habisa nafsahu alayna. Marhum Ayatullah Milani, he says that every day, half an hour of your time, every Shia, he has to have a relationship with the Imam. Just sit and talk to him. Don't need to have a book in your hands, recite all these long du'as, just a friendly conversation with the Imam. Now it is our belief that before that voice of your heart has come to your tongue for you to utter it, it has reached the Imam of time. So have that bond with him a few minutes a day. Some say that, some riwayat, they say that Imam, every day he has 100 looks at each year. That he looks at us 100 times a day. And every time he looks, there is a favor from the Imam that is upon us. So how nice it would be that if we could at least recite 100 salawats for the Imam with Ajjal Farajahum every day. And if we couldn't do it in one go, at least 10-15 salawats once in an hour, twice in an hour, that again is something which can apply, we have to apply onto ourselves, that a few times a day we do it. Marhum Sayyid Kareem Kafash, a very noble person, and most of the information regarding this arif was revealed to us by Marhum Sheikh Murtaza Zahid. He is someone who sees the Imam once in a week. He is someone that once in a while Imam provides food to this person, Marhum Kafash. He's a cobbler. And then in one of these visitations which he has, he says, Imam says to him that, what would you do if you don't see me? He says that, I would die, Imam. I would die. Imam says, it is for that reason, it is for that want and desire of yours that I see you every week. And in another mukashifa which he has, Imam shows him his place in the paradise, says, Kafash, this is where you will be living in the paradise. Now he doesn't care where he's going to be living. The first question he asks the Imam, Imam, where are you going to be? Now the rank of the Imam, definitely it's much, much higher. He's not going to be in that same location where Marhum Kafash is. Imam says, I'm not going to be here. He says, I don't want this paradise if I don't see you. That is that desire, that want, which a person has to have, that strong bond, strong feeling with the Imam, that his heart feels the pain as a result of Imam not being present. The third criteria or the condition that we have over here to be a servant of the Imam is to have hope. Without hope, it's not possible. Hope in this era of ghaibat says that this time of ghaibat will be lengthened so much so that Shias, they are tested, they are trained. An Imam throughout history, he drives away, moves away every turbulence from the Shias. It was mentioned yesterday, day before yesterday, that it is impossible, it is muhal, that there is no support of the Imam, especially on Shias. Impossible. We don't believe that not to happen. It's our aqeedah that the support of the Imam is there and it will remain. And I swear to God that if Imam's special regard on the Shias was not there, not seven shrouds, Shias would have worn 70 shrouds till now. Because of that support of the Imam, everything is there, intact even today. Marhum Allama Hindi, a woman pregnant, she dies. People, they come and ask, what should we do? He gives the fatwa that that lady has to be buried. The lady is taken to be buried. And it so happens that someone comes and these people who are taking the body to be buried, they say that stop, that baby in the mother's womb should be taken out and then you bury him. That is the instruction from that Sayyid. So they do it. The baby was alive. Then the lady was laid to rest. And they come to Sayyid Allama Hindi. And then they say that according to your instructions we did it and the baby was alive. He says, I did not issue that fatwa. And then he found out what a great mistake he had done by saying for them to be buried, that lady to be buried. He closes his house and says, from now on I will never issue any verdict, any fatwa. Imam says, you do your job, we will support you. We will look after you. If there is a shortfall, we will correct it. So we have an Imam who cares for Shias so much. Or for example, in the 7th century, if you look back into history, that 7th century was sufficient for the Shias to perish. On one side you had the Mughals from the east, you had the Crusades from the west, and the target were the Shias. Now how it happens that, as a result of these two superpowers of that time, Bani al-Abbas perished, Shias remained. How did that happen? That hand, that support of Imam was there. That Waliullah, that head of this nation, his support is there. Never think that there is no support. There is a support and Imam is always there. In every field, not only in the field of fiqh and usul, in every field, wherever you find a Shia serving the Imam, the cause of the Imam, his support is there. During the time of our fourth Imam, Sajjad alayhi salam, the supporters of the Imam were just four or five people, not more, only four or five. As a result of that, Imam had to set aside. He didn't stand. Why? He needed to protect those four and five people. The time of the fourth Imam passed, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. And at this time, Imam, our eighth Imam, moves from Medina to Khurasan, to Marv. And there is the headquarter of the Shias, it is set. And according to the advice of the 8th Imam, he says that Bani al-Abbas be moved to Baghdad. Now, according to the instructions of the Imam, that happens. And you find in those two wars, that is the Crusades and the Mughals, East and West fighting, as a result of that, Bani al-Abbas are perished, Shias are safe, are remained. So all that is the hand of Allah. A headquarter of Amir al-Mu'mineen was moved over here, and from here it starts its mission. So again, then Khurasan remained the headquarter, which is even the headquarter today. And Ustad, he says to his student, an ant was moving. He places his finger. Now that ant which was passing all the way through stops over here. Says to the students, what stopped that ant? Everyone said, it's your finger. Ustad says, all of you are wrong. You could see the finger, you didn't see me. This is the same thing over here. We have an Imam who is looking after us, whose support is there. Again, after these three qualities, that is knowing the Imam, having hope in him, then that painful heart, possessing that painful heart. The fourth is these efforts and striving for the Imam and the cause of the Imam. Now if you have those three, the fourth one will be automatically fulfilled. For example, during the time of Bani Israel, when they were waiting for the arrival of Prophet Musa, they were informed that after 400 years, Musa, the Messiah, will be born. They said, we can't wait all that time. They wept, they cried, and as a result of their du'as, the return and the arrival of Prophet Musa was hastened by 170 years. Imam, our sixth Imam says that وَأَنْتُمْ هَاكَذَا, that if you pray for the Imam, if your du'as are there, if your sincere cries are there, his return also will be hastened. Imam, he has no expectations from strangers. All his hopes, all his expectations are from the Shias. So we have to correct ourselves. We have to put ourselves right. Or for example, says that this dua which we recite every day, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Our sixth Imam says that مُضْطَر, the most stressed and distressed, it's the Imam of time. There is no one more burdened than the Imam of time. It's him. Says that the morning when he is going to return, that night He will put his head into sajda and recite أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ all night. He will cry so much, and in the morning that he will be instructed to appear. We have all got together over here to mourn for the son of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, who was a servant of the Imam of time. Quran says that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. That Allah, He tests by taking away the wealth which He has given. Sometimes He tests by taking away the sons that He has given, the family that He has given, by poverty and all these different ways that He has. For Prophet Ibrahim, he has a test. Says, Inna wajadnahu sabiran ni'mal abd innahu awwab. He was tested. When it comes to Abu Abdullah, again, the tests are more severe. Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, the son of Abu Abdullah, mother is Layla, and again, she is among the, comes from the progeny of Prophet Isa, and her grandfather is someone who resembles Prophet Isa the most. Ali Akbar, again, he is someone ashbahun nas khalqan wa khulqan, that someone who resembles the Holy Prophet the most. That whenever Ahlul Bayt were reminded of the Holy Prophet, they used to look at Ali Akbar alayhi salam. Again, on the day of Ashura, when Abu Abdullah says that, oh, people be a witness that someone has appeared on this battlefield who resembles the Prophet the most. Muawiyah la'natullahi alayhi, when he was inquired that, who would be the best successor of yours, what is going to happen of this rule, he says that, now there were people around him, question was posed by Muawiyah. Everyone says, no one is better than you. Muawiyah says that, there is no one better than Ali Akbar for this rule. He is the best. Why? He possesses the might of Bani Hashim and the generosity of Muawiyah. So even the enemies, they admitted the might, the beauty, and the performance of Ali Akbar. When this caravan of Noor arrives to Karbala, Abu Abdullah has a dream. He is disturbed. And then when he reveals it to the family, Ali Akbar says, أَوَلَسْنَا بِالْحَقْ عَلَى الْحَقْ. Are we not on the right path, father? Shall we just leave this place and go somewhere else? It's too late now, we can't go anywhere else. Quran says that when Allah instructs Prophet Ibrahim, he also says it to his son, that I've seen in my dreams that I am beheading you, I am slaughtering you. The son says, do as you have been instructed. He carries out the mission. And then Quran, when he wants to carry out the sacrifice, the knife in his hand wouldn't cut. He hits it to a rock, and that knife says, Al-Khalil Ya'murni wal-Jalil Yanhani. Khalil, Ibrahim says, perform it. Jalil, Allah says, don't. But this test in Karbala, it's much more severe. Abu Abdullah has to give a test wherein the instructions have to be carried out. Ali Akbar, when he set off to the battlefield, Abu Abdullah فَنَذَرَ إِلَيْهِ نَذَرَ آيَسًا مِنْ, says that looked at him as someone who is departing and will not return. He is someone from among the Bani Hashim, the first to set off. Whoever came to Abu Abdullah to seek permission to get off, to step on to the battlefield, he denies. But when it were his sons, immediately that permission was granted. Ashab, they did not let the family to go, but he was sent. He attacked and killed many of the enemies, so much so that he was exhausted. Comes to the father and says that, "Father, this thirst is killing me. Is there any drop of water that could help?" The father shows his tongue and says that, "See my tongue, it's much more dry, much more dehydrated." An imam sends its son back, says, "Irja ila al-qital," go back to the battlefield. There Ali Akbar, he fights, he is attacked onto his head, he falls off the horse, and when Imam comes to save him, he is already crushed and pounded under those horses, and says, "Ya Abata, father, this is my grandfather present before me, and this thirst of mine has been quenched forever. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun ilahi bihaqq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdag fiha ya allahu 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 اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. May Allah enlist each one of us among the best servants of the Imam of time, that ma'rifah of the Imam be increased in us, that service to the Imam be increased in us, that pain in knowing and feeling the absence of the Imam be increased in us, that hope to serve the Imam be increased in us. May we and our children be enlisted among the best who served him. May we be granted the shahada in his service. May all those who have departed, their positions and ranks be elevated in the barzakh. Allahumma inhala bayni wa baynahu al-maut. O God, if death intervenes between us and him, bring us back and in the service of the Imam. Matam Hussain.